the Lord would have you to rest in him. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. The enemy would seek to drain your strength and drain your energy. And the Lord would say, rest, rest in him. For he has ordained your footsteps. And every footstep has been taken care of. He is leading you and will take you forward step by step. Don't run ahead of him, because there is a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. And you need to know that time, and you need to wait for that time, and you need to trust him until that time. But his plan for you is for good and not for evil. And he loves you dearly, and he holds you in his hands. And you are a treasure. You are the apple of his eye. So be not afraid. In quietness and confidence, rest in him. And he will lead you his way, his time.
Is it me or is it hot? It's hot. Some of us were in church last night and... Boy, was it hot. There we are. Praise God. Anyway, Lord, just use these simple words of mine today, that they will be used for your honor and your glory. Amen. You can see my text. It's on the wall behind me. God is love. Can you hear me, Rob? You can't hear me. Just a minute. Right. Keep talking. Lock the doors. Yeah. So my text is, as is written on the wall, God is love. So let's just think about that God is love. And you know, God just doesn't love us. He is love. And he just can't help himself. He just loves us, and he just can't help himself that he is love. In fact, that love is the very essence of God. Whoever we are, whatever we have done, he loves us. How wonderful is that? That this, the creator of the universe, loves us, each one, individually, and knows us by name. You know, the tragedy is that there are many people in this world that have rejected and continue to reject that love. And where are those people heading? Well, they're heading for a lost eternity, a forever without God, an eternity without that love of God. Despite the fact that they reject him, he still loves them. He died for all the world. You'll know the story of the Titanic, a ship that was built in the early part of the last century. The biggest ship ever built, supposed to be unsinkable. And it sailed out of Liverpool, well, Birkenhead, but Liverpool. And it sailed for 5 days. It steamed away for 5 days. And what happened? It sank. Yeah, it sank. This unsinkable ship sank. Now, when the people actually got on board, there were the rich, there were the famous, there were the middle class, there were the poor and needy, there were all sorts. There were the working hands, the captain, the officers, all different people from different stations in life. But when the ship went down, there were only two kinds of people. Those that were saved, and those that were not saved. And that's just like us in the world today. There are just two kinds of people. Those that are saved and those that are not saved. And you know, they think their world is unsinkable. But it's not. They need, just as we need, they need the Lord to guide them and guard them, to keep them. And He loves them, and they need to turn to Him so that they're not on that sinking ship.
Yes.
You know, they're not on that sinking ship. God made us with the ability to make a choice. Choose this day who you will serve. If you turn your back on God, the consequences are terrible. Desperate, unbearable, unbelievable. Yet, He loves us with a love. Well, He just can't help Himself. He just loves us. So let's think about this. In the English language, we just have one word for love. One word, love. And we say, I love my wife, I love my husband, my son, my daughter. You might say, I love ice cream. Chocolate. You love chocolate. Oh, I love that shirt. I love that hairdo. Well, in my case, Rob's giving me a lot of stress at the moment over my hairdo. I'm growing it just to keep the numbers up. And yet we use the same word, I love God. We only have one word that covers the whole gambit of the meaning of love. Doesn't cover the different types of love, it just covers the lot. In Greek, there are four words. In Hebrew, I only know one, but we'll come to that one in a minute. So in Greek, there's eros, which is sensual love. Philia, which is friendship. Storge, which is family, parental love. And then agape.
Yes.
The love, the matchless love, the most high and holy love of God. And as I go through this afternoon, you'll see and hear that this love of God is a sacrificial love. A sacrificial love. In the Hebrew, it is the word hesed. Is that right? Have I said it right? No, it's a slightly different word from the word agape. But for our use this afternoon, it's as well just to think that these two words, agape in Greek, hesed in Hebrew, mean the matchless love of God. There is no simple, easy translation for either word into English because we just have that one simple word. But there are these two words, agape and hesed, that both mean the matchless, the unmatched, the unrivaled love of God. And it's that love that He's given to you and to me. And it's that love that we can experience in our lives. The love that we see as we look to the cross, as we see the sacrifice of Jesus. And this is the love that we can have in our daily lives.
Amen.
It's ours for the accepting. It's free. And it's for all eternity. Let's just read about it in the scripture, Paula. It's here if you need the words. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians 13. Let's read about love.
If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love, then I am nothing. And if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor, and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr, without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It is more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. But when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured, and I set aside my childish ways. For now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected in a mirror. But one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. Amen.
Thank you. Well done. Thank you. So, that chapter tells us about love. The love of God describes it perfectly. Before we talk about love, let's just go back and look into chapter 12. Chapter 12 describes the gifts of the Spirit. You all know what they are: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. And I think we believe that there are many more gifts than those that are listed there. We can't put a limit on what God can do and the gifts that he has for us. Wonderful gifts that we can use in our life. And then Paul goes on and describes roles in the church, and we've all got a particular role in the church. We might be apostles, prophets, teachers. We might be one of those who has the gift of miracles, the gift of healing. We might be an administrator or someone who can speak in tongues or interpret. And of course, all these roles and gifts are fantastic. They are the gifts of God. And part of our development as Christians to gain them and to use them as the Lord sees fit. But what does the last sentence of chapter 12 say? It says, I will show you a more excellent way. We heard that. All those gifts, all those appointments and posts in the church that we find and value, there's something better than those. Paul says, I will show you a still more excellent way. What's that? Paul goes on to say and to describe the way of love. Love comes first. That's the first step. All those gifts, all those positions of authority, as important as they are, Paul describes them as nothing if we have not love. The love of God to us and us to him. Paul says, if I can speak in tongues but have not love, I'm like a clanging cymbal. Now you've heard my clanging cymbals today. Boing. If we have not love, even that gift of tongues is like a clanging cymbal. If I can prophesy, if I have knowledge, if I have faith to move mountains but do not have love, then I am nothing. Hear this, folks. Love comes first. If I give away all that I have but have not love, I gain nothing. This is the important thing that we need to have and strive for. God's love to us, to accept it, and our love in return to him. It's pretty clear. The first requirement is love. To receive it, agape love, hesed love, godly love, matchless love. And indeed, I believe, is a gift of the Spirit of God. Because without God's help, we cannot love in that way. We do not have the capacity in our human frailty to love in the way that God does. Well, how does he love? Paula read it. Love is patient, kind, not boastful, not arrogant, not selfish, not irritable, does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Love rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. There's only one love that will never end, and that is the matchless love of God. His love for us, his love for you, his love for me, that will never, never end. And in return, we must pray and hope and trust and develop our love for him because of what he has done for us. And quite clearly, this love speaks of the love of Jesus as he went to the cross, as he took our sins on his shoulders. As he died, he forgave those that nailed him to the tree. As he died, he forgave the malefactor that was crucified beside him. What love, what tenderness, what grace Jesus had, even in that most agonizing time. He could still have the grace to say, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. And to the man by his side, today you will be with me in paradise. And why did he go? I've told you before why he went. Because the man on the cross said so. That's why the man on the cross said so. That's why that guy went to glory. What a standard God has set. All those attributes of love. What a standard. And he has commanded us to love in the same way. It's not an option. Commandment. John 13, verses 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give to you. A new commandment I give to you. That you love one another as I have loved you. And that you also love one another." And there's a qualification that comes in the next verse. "By this, all will know that you are my disciples." Amen. If you love one another. So he set the standard, and the standard is that our love should be sacrificial love. Yes. Sacrificial love. That's God's love. Time and time and time again, yes, we will read that he gave, because of his love. And Jesus said, "I command you to do the same. Love as I have loved." Not an option. Not something you can do when you feel like it. It's a command of God. And is the evidence that all will know who you are and what you are. A child of God. So God's love is perfect. It's a model for how to love. Just think about that model of love that is given to us. How fantastic it is that God loves us. Whether we're a saint or a sinner. At one time we will have been sinners by definition. But now, as we've heard several times in the past few weeks, we're saints. Praise God for that fact. We are now saints. Children of God, no longer slaves, but children. How wonderful is that? Everyone needs this love. Everyone needs this love of God. And it's just fantastic if we just stop for a moment again and think that it is me, you, individually, that have this relationship, this one-to-one loving relationship with God. The God who made the universe, the God who sent his Son to die for you and for me. What love. And it's yours and it's mine for the taking, friends. There are thousands in this world that deny it. Don't deny it. Take it. Hang on to it. Stand firm. Stand firm in the love of God. And when we have the love of God, well, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. In 1 John it says, love from God, well, it is from God. Because he loves us, he gave his Son. Sacrificial love again. Because Jesus loved and loves us, he was our substitute on the cross. He died for us. What love. God abides in us if we love one another. And there is no fearing love, because love casts out fear. We have nothing to fear because we have the love of God. He surrounds us with that wonderful, impregnable love. You know, it describes in Ephesians, doesn't it? Put on the whole armor of God so that we can deflect the... It's his love. It's God's love. That's why we've got it. To protect us, to keep us safe in his arms. Doesn't matter what we've done, like the guy on the cross next to Jesus. Doesn't matter what he had done, God forgave him because he owned God, because he recognized Jesus, because of the choice he made first, that God in turn, Jesus, could say, today you will be with me in paradise. Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God is a loving God, but he does have some wrath there along the way. His very nature is love, but he cannot look on sin. We need to turn our back on sin, just as on that day when Jesus died, God turned his back on Jesus. This world went dark, that darkness. And again, I've said this before from this platform, the pain that Jesus felt at that moment was also the pain that God felt when he had to turn his back on Jesus, the sacrifice that they both made on that day. Sacrificial love again. What a fantastic love this is. What depth of love it is. And it's ours. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's ours. It's yours. It's mine. Just for the taking. That's right, brother, isn't it? Just for the taking. We are secure in our relationship with God because nothing can take us from the love of God. My go-to chapter, Ava, Romans 8. They say if you want to keep one chapter and lose all the rest, keep Romans 8. A fantastic chapter. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And that past tense, loved us, means he loved us always, always. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a chapter this is. And what a description that is, that there is absolutely nothing that can take us away from that depth of love that God has for us, that he demonstrated in creation, that he demonstrated at the cross, and that he demonstrates day by day by day as we are secure in his love for us. Choose that love, receive it. Remember in Hebrews it says, there's a warning, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Don't turn your back on it. Don't separate yourself from God. Stand firm. That's what we've heard several times in the last few weeks, to stand firm. Don't compromise. Believe that book from cover to cover. It's the inspired word of God. And do not compromise. And that love is yours and mine for the taking. And taking that love means we've got this shield of protection around us. Do you remember the advert of the little castle going around somebody for insurance? Impregnable. Well, God's love is even better than that. And when you've got that bit added in, that it's even better than that, well, it's even better than that again. Psalm 5 says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Yes. Let them sing joyfully praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. Amen. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. That's how he protects us. He protects us with a shield of love. Nothing can penetrate that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's unspeakable. It's indescribable. Just fantastic. God will not let you down because his love cannot fail. Psalm 36 says, "Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for your people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings." How fantastic is the love of God. Just consider the depth, the breadth, the height of this love. And then there's more and more besides. In 1 John, God calls you, and praise God, he calls me, his child. See how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children. And that is what we are. That is what we are. I can hear my dad saying it. And that is what we are. But people who belong to this world don't recognize it. And they don't recognize that we are children of God because they don't know him. What a tragedy. How terrible it is. And what a responsibility we have to share that love. I was out with a group of guys yesterday and we did manage to give some Bibles out. We gave 20 Bibles out yesterday. But we had a great time of fellowship together of people who are like-minded and love the Lord. And we had that fellowship in the love of the Lord that we have in this fellowship too. That is vital. It's our very lifeblood, if you like. The love of God. We are a child of God. Let it sink in. We are children of God. And he calls us his child. We call him Father, but it's two-way. He calls us his child. And you know, when you become a child of God, you don't just become his friend. You become his child. You're adopted into the family of God. Back to Romans 8. By the Spirit of adoption. And as Grace has just said, we are the apple of his eye. The apple of his eye. You know, you hold your child, your son, your daughter, your grandchild, and you just love them. They are the apple of your eye. Just multiply that by tens of thousands of times, and that's what God feels for you and me. How wonderful it is. And again, I've told you this before, adoption is a matter of choice by the parent. So in this case, choice by God. He has chosen you, chosen me. And adoption is always about the needs of the child. It's not about the needs of the parents. It's about the needs of the child. That's us. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. Sons and daughters of God. Adoption is by choice. God has chosen us in love. We are special people. Sons, daughters of God, joint heirs with Christ. What love is this? Just take a minute to think that the God who made the universe even before he made the universe, knew of you and loved you and had a plan for you. Don't turn your back on that plan. Adopt that plan. Seek his face. Seek what he wants for you in your life and fulfill it, because that will be the evidence of your love in return. So we come to the most famous scripture of all, John 3:16, yeah. Which demonstrates God's love without doubt, without question. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gift we have from our Father, everlasting life. Why? Because God so loved us. Amen. And the consequence was that Jesus came and died for me and died for you. And again, I'll say it, not because of anything that he had done, but because of the things that you and I had done, that he took on his shoulders. And now we have the ticket that says the fare is paid in full.
Amen.
We have the bill of sale paid in full. Amen. How wonderful is that? So our English language doesn't have much depth in terms of the word love. We just use the same word for a whole range of things. But in some other languages, there is this depth, this matchless love of God, this agape love, this hesed love, the matchless love of God, the love that drew salvation's plan, that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How wonderful is that? The love of God. And just finally to say, we read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and the last verse says, so now faith, important, hope, expectation, important, and love abide. All important, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen.